Hey, y'all, it's Bo Haig. Thank you so much for listening to this message today. If you have questions, please contact us at 580-216-6427. And we hope that God uses this message to change your life.
I want to tell you a little story. A few months ago, I think it was in May, my son and I, Hank, who's 6 years old, we decided that we were going to go for a ride, you know, a horseback ride. So if you've ever been to our house, if you go north of our house down this easement, you run right into the river, right? And so we decided that we were going to go to the river and we're going to ride the river. Well, we get down there, and again, you can show the picture of Hank there. That, I took that actually that day. As you can see, again, when you ride kind of on the river or the draw, it's obviously taller on the sides and there's trees everywhere. So we decided we're going to ride in the river. We go down by the river. We cross the river a few times and we're riding along. I mean, it's all fine and dandy. And then all of a sudden, my son, he's behind me on his horse and I hear this thud. And I turn around and my son has been clotheslined by a limb and he flipped off the back of his horse. Yeah, and he's laying on the ground, and I'm trying not to laugh, but he's laying there, and you got to know Hank, he's the sweetest, gentlest kind of kid, and he doesn't want to cry because he wants to be tough for daddy, but he starts crying, and so anyways, we get him up, we get him back on his horse, and he's crying, and just a few minutes, it starts getting dark, and again, if you've ever been in a draw or whatever, you realize that it gets darker in the draw than it does, obviously, outside of the draw or on top of the draw. And so it's getting dark. Hank's kind of crying. And so daddy decides to take a shortcut. You know how that goes, right? I mean, let's take a shortcut. Well, we took this shortcut and it ends up that we ended up in two dead ends. I mean, we get to one and again, we're trying to get back to the house and we go to this one area and it ends up in a dead end, barbed wire fence everywhere. I try to, you know, try to get my horse to go over this barbed wire fence. I put the fence down. I try to get him to go over it. He gets his hoof caught in it, flips out, you know. And so again, we're facing all these obstacles. So we turn around and we decided to go back, you know, through the trees. Well, the trees were, you know, almost this tight. And so again, Hank's like, Nutty, I don't know where I'm going. And he's kind of in front of me. And he's like, I don't know where I'm going. You know, can you get in front? And I was like, yeah, I'll get in front. You know, I'll lead us out of here. And after a while, again, we're riding through there. We decided to get off our horses at this point because we couldn't. I mean, he was going to get knocked off again. And so we're riding through there. It's dark. He's crying. And we've gone through all these obstacles. And then all of a sudden, we come up to the edge of the draw. And my son says, I found the sun. Daddy, I found the sun. Amen. And again, you think, well, what's the meaning of that? Again, he was in the dark and he found the sun. And as we were riding home, we were back on this easement, walking back to the house. He goes, Dad, how did you know how to get home? And I said, Son, I've been there before and I just followed the sun. I just followed the sun. Well, here's the point. I believe that there are a lot of people in our world today that are caught in that dark draw. They're facing obstacles of, you know, pain and loss, the barbed wire of, you know, disappointment. They've gotten flipped off of their horse. They've been clotheslined by a relationship. They've been clotheslined by the world that's around them. And we are called to lead them to the sun. And so, again, I believe that that's what God wants me to talk to you about today. I want to talk about a man in the Bible that I believe led people to the Son of God, led people to Jesus Christ. And his name is John the Baptist. John the Baptist. And you think, well, was he a Baptist because of the denomination? No. He was not a Baptist because they didn't have the denomination back then. He was known as John the Baptist, and I'll give you a little background, because he actually practiced baptism by water. So when he led people to the Lord, he would baptize them in the Jordan River. I've actually been in the Jordan River. I've river rafted actually down the Jordan River, been there where John, you know, could have baptized all of these people. And I've seen the Jordan River and it's an amazing thing. Well, again, John was known as John the Baptist or John the Baptizer or John the Immerser, because again, that's what he did. They came to know the Lord. He did a water baptism. Here's something else about John. John was a miracle baby. And you may not have heard this story, but Zechariah was a priest. Zechariah was old, and he had a wife named Elizabeth who was old as well. Elizabeth was Mary's relation, Mary the mother of Jesus. They could not have children, right? I mean, they're old. They're thinking, well, I'm never going to have children. And again, I'll just say this. God saw otherwise. God allowed them to become pregnant with a son, and they named him John. And you say, well, okay, but what's the point? Well, I believe that we can learn some things about John or from John that we can apply to our lives so that we can lead people to the Son. I want you to look at Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. It says this. It says, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of God, or I'm sorry, ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sin. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt at his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. Sounds good to me. How about you? I want a little locust for lunch. he ate locust and honey, and this was his message. Listen to this. After me comes the one more powerful than I. The straps of his sandals, or whose sandals, I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now again, you say, okay, what's the point? Well, I believe that we can learn three things, three characteristics from John that we can apply to our lives. And here's number one. Are you taking notes? Anybody taking notes today? I'm gonna lay the guilt trip again. Now, again, I would encourage you to take notes because, again, some people need to hear this message. You may not be able to hear it or need to hear it today, but some people need to hear it. And again, if you write it down, then you can go, hey, listen to what I've learned about the Lord. But, okay, number one. And again, these are awesome characteristics about John. Number one is this. John was John. Let me say it again. John was John. Look at verse 6 again. It says, John wore clothing made of camel's hair. That's weird. But John wore clothes made of camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. You say, well, what's the point? I mean, what do you mean by John was John? Here's what I believe that we can get from that. John wasn't a namby-pamby, weak stick type of Christian. Do you get it? I mean, here he is. He's wearing camel's hair. He's eating locusts. He's probably bit the head off of him and was like, argh. I mean, that's how real men would do it, right? That's how I would do it, right? I mean, he's eating locusts. I mean, he's dressed like a mountain man, and he's eating mountain man food. He wasn't born with fancy clothes. He wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth. But here's the thing. Jesus and God chose him to prepare the way for Jesus. Again, you say, well, okay, but what's the point? Here's the point. As someone who is called to minister to people, and we are all called to minister to people, here's the cool thing about God. I can be who God wants me to be. I can be me. I can be as unique as God has made me, and you can be as unique as God has made you. I can wear this hat on Sunday, and I can wear it on Monday. Again, you say, well, what are you getting at? Again, we can be as rough, we can be as tough, and I love this because here's what I love to share with men. Men, a lot of men, and I've said this before, a lot of men believe that they have to lose their masculinity to love Jesus Christ. You don't have to lose your masculinity. Again, the idea that you lose your manhood or you can't be, again, a man of God is a bunch of crap. John is proof of that. Again, some of the religious hypocrites want to clean us up. They want to make us Christian cookie cutter Christians who are soft and weak and who don't have a backbone. And when someone, you know, disagrees with them, they cower to whoever wants to disagree with them. I do not believe that's who God has called us to be. He's called us to be who he wants us to be. And that is, again, a man of God. And so God says to John, and he says to us, I'll use you just like you are. And again, he says, I'll get rid of the sin in your life. I'm going to, you know, show you where you need to step up and be a godly man or a godly woman, but I will use you just as you are. And ladies, can I say the same thing for you? I mean, again, some ladies, they want to, you know, wear the nice clothes and they want to do the nice thing and they want to show up and impress all these people. And again, ladies, you don't have to be skinny to love Jesus. Can I get an amen from the ladies? You don't have to wear fine clothes to love Jesus. You don't have to have Botox to love Jesus. Jesus loves you wrinkled or tight. And the thing that he worries about is your heart for him, not the way that you look out on the outside. And again, I don't just say that. Can I just hit the other side of this? I mean, again, some people, they want to dress in rags because they think they're better than the people who dress in nice clothes. So can I pick on the rag people too? I mean, seriously, if you think you're better because you don't wear all these fancy clothes or don't have a fancy hat or drive a fancy truck, you're no better than anybody else. So don't think your false humility is going to get you closer to God either. Here's the truth. If you can afford it, buy it. If you can't afford it, don't buy it. If it makes you happy to get Botox, get it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not pointing any fingers at anybody. The point is this, you be you. Jesus doesn't care about your outward appearance. He cares about your heart. Look at 1 Samuel 16. And again, they're looking for a king. And listen to what Samuel says, or the Lord says to Samuel. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height. I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. He looks at the heart. And you say, well, what do you mean? John was John, and we are called to be who God has called us to be. Furry-faced, Right? Some of you guys are growing beards like the Duck Dynasty bros. Furry faced and all. Ladies, I know your hair's long on your legs right now because it's December. Jesus loves you long haired. Don't tell me it's not true. That's why you guys got long pants on today. Listen to Jesus. Listen to this. Listen to what Jesus wrote about John. In Luke chapter 7, it says this. After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. Listen to this. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swaying by the wind? If not, what did you get out? What did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet the one who is the least or is the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Do you see what Jesus even said about John? He says, there's no one greater than John, right? And you say, well, why did he like him? Again, it wasn't because he was dressed a certain way or acted a certain way. It was because he was a crazy S.O.B. Sold out believer. Some of you guys need to get your minds out of the gutter. I mean, what do you think I was referring to? Sold out believer, baby. And here's the truth. I love this. Can I just point this out as well? I just sound like a dork. Anyways, here's what I love about John as well. John is ministering where? Where do the people go out to see him? In the wilderness. In the wilderness. Here's the point that I try to get out of that. God doesn't just use people in the church. He doesn't just use people when they come to church. He wants us to minister to people in the wild. He wants us to go out into the wild. He wants us to be out in the wilderness, ministering to people out there. Again, so many people want to come to church and they want to puff up. They want to say, I'm a church goer. I love church. And I go to that cowboy church and I do that cowboy church thing. And then they walk out and they don't make squat of a difference when they leave this place. We are called to act like Christians. We are called to worship God in this church. But more importantly, we are called to reach those that are on the streets, that are walking in the draw of darkness. Again, you say, well, what's the point? We are to lead them to the sun. We know the sun. We know the sun. And we are called to lead them to the sun. Here's point number two. You want to know what else about John that I like? Point number two is this. John was humble. John was humble. I want you to look at the scripture again, Mark chapter 1. It says this, and this was his message. After me comes one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. Do you see what John is? John's humble. I mean, again, John's bringing hundreds of people to Jesus. He's baptizing hundreds of people. He could have got the big head. He could have said, it's all about me. But what does he say? No, I'm not worthy to even tie the shoes of the one that's coming after me. He was humble. He walked in humility. And you say, okay, but what does that look like for me today as a Christian? What does that look like for me to be humble? Well, can I tell you what it's not? Humility is not being a coward. Can I just tell you that? I mean, again, a lot of people want to walk around, I'm just humble. I'm just going to be humble. Whatever you say to me, I'll just take it. Now listen, God didn't call us to be cowards. He didn't call us to, bow to those that are louder than us. He didn't call us to give up our beliefs for the sake of someone else's, opinion. He called us to be humble. And you say, what does that look like? Well, again, for me, it looks like I walk in the power of God, but here's the truth. I walk knowing that I am nothing but a sinner. I am a sinner saved by grace. The only thing good about me is I have met the Savior. That's humility. I can walk around and I can preach the word of God. I can show people the love of God, and I can do it with power. I can do it with authority. But when it comes to, you know, understanding why, I turn them to Jesus, because it's not about me. That's what humility looks like. And so again, don't walk out here going, I can't be powerful. I can't walk in truth. I can't speak boldly. No, you can do all of that, but you do it in humility. And can I just say this? When you do that, when you make it about Jesus and not about yourself, the world will follow you. Again, if you walk out here prideful and rude and conceited and thinking, man, you know, I'm not going to talk to those people. They don't have what I have. You know, I got Jesus and they're just a bunch of heathens. Listen, that turns people off. I mean, that's the worst thing that you can do. So again, get rid of your pride, walk in humility, and do it boldly. And again, John was the same way. He was humble enough to let everybody know that again, it was all about Jesus. Number three is this, and I'm done. Number three, John led others to the Son. John led others to the Son. Look at Mark chapter 1 again. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. You know what we're called to do? We're called to lead people to the Son. You know what John did? John led people to the Son. Just like I led Hank out of that dark draw, we are called to lead others out of that dark draw and lead them to the Son. That's what we're called to do. And so you may be thinking, well, you know, again, how do I do that? Well, you take the example of John. John chapter 1 verse 20, it says, he did not failed to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Messiah. Mark chapter 1, verse 8, I baptize with water, but he will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Do you see what John's doing? Again, John's saying, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. And today, as the season of Christmas rolls in, we need to be bold enough, humble enough, loving enough to share Jesus. Because it's not about us, it's about him. And you say, okay, Bo, how does God want to use me? I believe he wants to use you and me the same way he used John. We are to be ourselves. Just like John was John, we're to be ourselves. We are to be humble as we walk around. And we are to prepare the way for the lost to find the Son. Here's the truth. We have the hope of the world. Do you realize that? I mean, again, some people are walking around in this dark world and they're thinking, I have no hope. Guess what? As a Christian, as knowing the Lord of Lords, we have the hope of the world. We know the Prince of Peace, and we are called to share him with others. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a minute. Maybe you're here today and you're thinking, well, you know what? I don't know that I have Jesus in me. Can I just tell you, Jesus came to this earth, and you're going to get to learn about it next week. Again, he came to this earth in a humble manger. He came to this earth in a humble stable. And he came not to live as a king, not to live in a palace, but he came to die. You know why he came to die? He came to die so that you could have eternal life, so that you could find hope, so that you could get out of the dark draw that you're in, and so that you could find the light. So maybe you're here today and you're thinking, you know, Bo, I don't even know the Son. How am I going to lead others to the Son? Well, you can know him today. Jesus says this, or the Word of God says this. If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You say, what does that mean, Bo? What does it mean to confess? In your chair, right there, in your heart, you don't have to say this out loud, but in your heart, you just confess. You say, okay, Lord, I know that you're real now. I know that I need you in my life. I know I'm a sinner. And I confess you as my Lord right now. Come into my life. Show me the light that I've never seen before. Guide me. Listen, maybe you just prayed that in your heart. And again, it's not a mind game. It's not some Christian trick. It's truth. I mean, again, the Bible teaches us that if we will place our faith in Jesus Christ, that he will save us from our sin and give us eternal life. And so listen, if you just prayed that, we rejoice with you. You are now a child of God. You are now a believer in him. And here's all we ask you to do. Again, we're not going to ask you to come to the front. We're not going to embarrass you. All we ask you to do is fill out that orange card, place it in a yellow bucket as you leave, and we will contact you about your decision. You say, why do you need to contact us? Here's why. Because you can't walk alone and really grow in your relationship. You need friends. You need other Christians to come alongside of you and support you as you walk with Christ. And so let us know. You say, but I don't have a card. Here's what you do. Text your name to the number on the screen and we will contact you. It's that simple. You don't have to say what you decided. You just text your name to the number on the screen and we'll contact you. Maybe you're a Christian already and you're here today and you are not fulfilling God's purpose for your life. You're a fake. You walk into church, you do the church thing, you walk out and you live for yourself. You're not real. You just kind of do things your own way. You're not obedient. You don't really, you know, care what the Bible says. You're not real. Can I just encourage you? If you truly know Christ in your life, it's time to get real. It's time to begin to live a life that leads others to the Son, not to other things. And so again, maybe my challenge to you as a Christian is, get real. Become who God wants you to be. And if you have a personal relationship with him, show it. Show people. Again, don't be prideful about it. Be humble. Love them to the Lord. It's the only way that their lives are going to be changed. And the greatest gift that you can give them is Jesus. And so maybe you need to make a commitment to do that today. With everybody's head bowed and everybody's eyes closed, I just want to know who is committed to do that. How many of you would say by raising your hand, I will lovingly yet boldly share the hope that I have in Jesus? How many of you guys would raise your hand and say that? Thank you. All across the barn. All across the barn. Anybody else? How many of you would say, you know what? I've not done this, but I'm going to start. When people ask me why my life is so blessed, when people ask me how I got through that hellacious time in my life, that you will share with them the love of Jesus. Anybody else? Thank you. All across the room, thank you. You will be blessed for that. And you will please God. And that's all that really matters. Some of you, again, you just committed to that. Here's my challenge. Prepare the way. As you have family Christmases, ask if you can pray before the dinner. As you have family Christmases, ask if you can read the story out of Luke chapter 2 about how Jesus came to this earth. Step up. Be bold, but do it with humility. And if they say, you know, no, we don't want to do that, honor them. Show them that you're not just some religious jerk who wants to shove Jesus down anybody's throat, but honor them. And then do it in your own home and show your own kids or your own family how to love Jesus. So I challenge you, prepare the way for Jesus. Prepare the way for someone else to come to know him. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. And if you have a decision that you want, you know, answers to, or you want to, you know, ask some questions, please find me, or again, text your name to the number on the screen and we'll contact you and we will help you in whatever way we can. If there is anybody here today that needs physical help, that you may need, you know, a bill paid, or you may need someone to buy some gifts for your kids, or you know some people that need that, that's what our church is about. We believe at Thousand Hills Ranch Church that we should be the most generous people on the face of the earth. And we commit to you to help you in whatever way that we can. Lord, I thank you that I can come to know you personally through your Son. I thank you that I have seen the light, and may I share that light with others around me. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of this church. I thank you for the blessing of everybody that's here. And Lord, we thank you for the unchurched people, the lost people that continually come to this church and find you. And so we give you all the glory and the praise. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Walking in Jerusalem just like John.
Thank you again for listening to this message, and we hope to see you every Sunday at the Woodward Livestock Auction at 10:30.